Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Yes, listeners, the results are in. It's another episode of These Parts. Thanks for joining us. We've got one heck of an episode that's really going to drive listener turnout, don't we, Elliot?
We certainly do, Vince. Listeners, we are so happy that you are joining us. Presumably, we don't know. On another episode of These Parts. The results will be in after the episode is posted. Vince, I'm excited to be in this town today.
I'm very excited, Elliot. One of the reasons that we do what we do is because we're in love with the American spirit. That's why we go to these small towns. That's why we shake hands with different types of Americans all over the country. And one of the best things about America is the freedom of the vote. Wouldn't you agree, Elliot?
It's what makes America, America, is democracy. That has to be one of the amendments or something, right?
It's in like the Bill of Things, I think is what it's called.
Yep, that sounds right to me. And elections and politics are really in our blood. I mean, we have touched on the fat cats in Washington in this podcast and our other walks of life, Vince. But from our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally, being elected as founder and president of the Almanarican Society, it's really just stuck with our family.
It has. We're political junkies in this family. Even though we don't like to make the show political, we're interested in more of the history of it. And sometimes the voters don't get it right. Harry S. Truman, we're looking at you. But a lot of times they vote with their conscience, and that's what makes the American person a great American.
I'm reminded of when the Almanarican Society, the secretive society to which our great-great-grandfather belonged, started. He was elected by a landslide. And some say this is because he was the only one who voted. But I like to believe that this was the very first evidence of this system of election and votes working in the United States.
Working as intended. Elliot, what does all this voting and political jibber-jabber have to do with the town we're visiting?
It has everything to do with the town that we're in today, Vince, a town that I think we should put on the map.
But before we stick a pin in Caucus, Florida, we have a very special guest to introduce, don't we, Elliot?
We do. Listeners, as Vince said, we're in Caucus, Florida. This is a town that is constantly caucusing. And here with us today is the town's foremost sought-after premier campaign strategist. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course. Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Elliot, Vince. My name is Olivia Axland. I am thrilled to be here, and I just want to say I endorse this podcast 100%.
Thank you. Did you say your last name is Excellent?
Axland.
Excellent, okay.
Would be appropriate.
It would be appropriate. Just from your reputation definitely precedes you, and that's why we wanted you on the show today.
Thank you, and I agree.
And what an auspicious start to kick things off with an official Axland endorsement. Wow, it's better than I could have dreamed. Maybe you can fulfill the next part of my fantasy, Olivia, and stick a pin in Caucus, Florida.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Caucus, Florida is a really interesting town, if I'm going to choose the correct word. Everyone here is a strategist in a sort. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Everyone here is working towards a goal, not necessarily a common goal, but they're working towards a goal. So that makes being here in Caucus, Florida, you put away a 9-to-5. You're always working. It's a town full of professionals.
Well, if I know anything about running a campaign, which I don't, I would assume that you are working round the clock to get your candidate to raise the echelon and raise the bar of politics.
Constantly. And, you know, it's funny that you said that you don't know anything about a campaign, because you really don't need to know anything about a campaign. If there's one thing I can tell you from the Axland method of campaign strategy, it's throw away what you know. They always tell you have to come from a family of politicians. Well, that's not true.
So you don't come from a background of politicians?
No. My parents were gypsies, for lack of a better word. We basically traveled around the United States, hitchhiking from state to state. We took a couple jaunts into Canada, but mainly stayed within the United States, played music. Huh. Yeah. And my job as a child was to get us our next ride, get us our next transportation, you know?
This is fascinating. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours, Olivia. I recently bought your book, An Axe to Grind, Burying the Hatchet in American Politics. Mm-hmm. The first page of the book reads, "Throw this book away," and then the remaining 38 pages are blank.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to talk about how that embodies your personal philosophy towards politics.
Absolutely. I think that when you're looking at politics, you look at any candidate, every person is different. We're all snowflakes. Have you heard that before?
Do they mean literally snowflakes? Is that meant to be taken literally?
No. Sorry. We're all unique. Each snowflake is different. Yeah. And in the Axelan approach, we're all snowflakes that are going to melt into one giant iceberg.
The melting pot of America.
Thank you. Yes.
What I love about your book is the quote that is on the back from James Carville in Axe to Grind. He says, "Some people say there were too many puns. I say not enough."
Not enough. Because puns are like level playing field, I would say. Wouldn't you?
Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to hear more of them.
Even the people who say, "I don't like puns, it's a dad joke, whatever," they're lying. If I can tell one thing, it's a liar, they're lying. They do like it. They just have it admitted to themselves, given themselves the freedom to laugh at the pun.
Wow.
So when you say, you know, throw out everything that you don't know, do you believe in the two-party system that we had established in America? Do you have a different approach?
Yeah, it's great that you brought that up, actually. So in Caucus, Florida, it's a little bit unique because we have, I would say, on average, 10 to 12 people campaigning at a time, and then their parties behind them. So, no. I think that we are really open in Caucus, Florida, to an all-party, any party system.
Talk to us a little bit about what some of the more interesting parties that have cropped up in this hotbed of democracy.
Sure. I'd love to. So, you know, there's the classics. But then my parents actually were one of the ones that really inspired me to make this into a career, not just from my childhood, but they were, again, from a band of gypsies. And the gypsies, if you guys don't know, are a very underrepresented group.
The gypsy party.
Yeah, the gypsy party. And the gypsy party is a strong party in caucus.
And I believe so. Obviously, everyone knows that Republicans have the elephant, donkeys are Democrats, gypsies, you have a woman with a babushka with one of those marble games is the logo, right?
Yep, and then there's a wagon kind of behind her.
Great.
Yeah, I'm glad you know that. Thank you for knowing that.
We like to research into whatever town we are going to be in. And Vince, I think we have the perfect segment coming up to investigate a little bit more.
I vote yes on that transition, Elliot.
And that segment is Say What?
So Say What is our opportunity to dive into the lingo, the lexicon, the vocabulary of the places that we're visiting. I'm excited to get down to brass tacks with some political jargon. We all know that the world of the campaign trail can get a little bit insular. Their own languages can develop over time. And, you know, not to say anything of the slogans, the nicknames, it's a veritable treasure trove of linguistic interest. Olivia, could you shed some light on some of the insider speak? If someone's visiting Caucus, Florida, what are some of the phrases and words they need to know?
Totally. One of the first ones that I will point out, because it's, I would say, kind of a tourist trap if we have one, is the lemonade campaign, the lemonade stand campaign, the lemonade technique. You'll hear it all different ways. And basically, this is kind of a campaign that is set up literally on the side of the road, and they draw you in with something that seems endearing and innocent. However, their political strategy, their point of view may not be innocent.
So it's sort of like when you buy lemonade, but then you end up realizing it's just water with a packet of sugar poured into it.
Exactly. And their parents bought the lemonade. They didn't do the work to, you know, make that. That's why I don't endorse lemonade stands ever, because I think it's a false business.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Olivia, but isn't this how Bobby Stevens, 8-year-old Cubs fan, was elected to mayor of Caucus, Florida in 1977?
It is. That was one of the things that, not to put us on the map, because that's what you guys are going to do, but that is one of the things that is still very controversial in our town, I would say, because some people are like, he was a great mayor, but he was not. He was not a great mayor. He was so young. And it was through a lemonade stand campaign, so he got votes, and everyone thought he was adorable. And he was a well-spoken kid. And not to downplay that, but he was in no way ready to be mayor.
Does this explain the half-constructed multi-billion-dollar amusement park in the center of Caucus, Florida?
Yes.
I see. It makes sense now.
But he had a 100% approval rating because when you bought that lemonade, you could choose either a Ron Santo or an Ernie Banks sticker.
Yeah.
And people really liked that.
Yeah, and I have never confessed this, but I supported his campaign. And it was one of the big learning moments of my career. You know, who knew a Dixie cup of powdered lemon sugar could create such a financial disaster?
Speaking of Dixie cups, I want to talk about the Mason-Dixie line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sometimes referred to as the Mason-Dixon line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Florida is a southern state. Do you find yourself associating more with conservatives, liberals? I'm assuming gypsies are falling into some other realm.
Yeah, they are in a different realm for sure. You know, I would say for me, I obviously identify as a gypsy party. Just that's how I was raised, and it runs in your blood basically once you get that upbringing. But I would say that I tend to run more Republican in general because you know, not to beat a dead horse, but the lemonade stand, Republicans back that. They love that strategy.
Oh, because they didn't want the government interfering with a multi-billion-dollar amusement park.
No. They're like, you know, the kid did his work, and so in that sense, I definitely identify conservative. And they're one of the things I think, not to toot my own horn, one of the reasons I think I'm sought after is I am an open book, and I, you know, my pages are blank. That's why my book was empty. You know, each campaign is its own book. You know,
That's the wise words, Olivia.
Thank you.
As the number one strategist in town, I assumed you'd be a little more neutral, which it sounds like you exactly are. You play both sides of the field when it's your convictions line up and when it's politically expedient, a true pro.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the slogans, the sayings, the phrases that the different parties. You said there's 12 prominent parties here in caucus. I want to talk about one in particular that I read. It was a poster, very graphical, you know, very inspirational. It's a man looking up to the sky, sort of with a puzzled expression, and it reads, "Yes, we could?" Question mark.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does this mean? Who's behind this ad, and what does it mean?
That's from the Apathy Party, and the Apathy Party is a tough one. I've worked with them a little bit. Their whole thing is we don't know and we can't know and maybe we could know. And that's actually like a quote in their campaign brochure. And it's just they have no strong opinion because they feel like they don't know. That party is run strongly on marijuana.
I see. Well, it's important to have a, you know, single issue parties are nothing new to this country. So I think the real challenge to me seems that they're not actually sure that they want to get elected.
No, they're really not. Actually, a funny story about the Apathy Party is their head showrunner of the party, George Cranston, is extremely kind. And so he is like, you get to know him and you're like, there's no way. This guy must have strong opinions. But he just does not have opinions once you get to know him. And they teamed up with the lemonade incident. And they were the one who actually shut down that amusement park halfway through, which was good because it was driving the city into horrible debt. But that was actually an apathy move based on they're not sure they liked the roller coasters.
But you know what? In my opinion, these days, it's almost better to not have an opinion, especially with the pervasive role that social media plays. Now, I mean, a candidate can tweet something out and wreck his entire career, her entire career. Are there any hot button words or issues that you have maybe advised your candidates not to use ever?
Yes. Love in general just doesn't hit well.
The feeling or the word?
I feel like they're the same. And some people disagree with me on them, but I feel mm-hmm. like in general, it makes things confusing. It makes it personal. And not that politics should never be personal, but it's the wrong kind of personal. And I think it plays the sex card a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you think that compassion is lost in a political movement at all?
Yeah. And this could be a Caucus Florida thing where we've just seen so many issues from the lemonade issue to the apathy party who they don't really love everything, but they're very kind with everything. And I think they've thrown out love sometimes. And we actually have the love party in Caucus Florida, and they're hard. They're a hard party. They're very hard. So I definitely caution against love because that's a very specific party.
So that's interesting. So are there parties that you will not work with aside from the love party?
The love party I won't work with just because I think their whole campaign just doesn't vibe with me, and they are not open to being an open book and rolling with it and finding what the best thing is for them. They're kind of set in stone. Like, we love everything no matter what. Mm. And that's hard. Like, you can't love everything, in my opinion, but they do. The apathy party, I'm fine with. They don't really need me. They hired me once and then they second guessed it. And then, yeah, so that one, I've worked with them a little bit. For the most part, I'll work with almost everyone, like I said, because I'm pretty neutral. The only party that I really try and keep a safe distance from is actually the Gypsy Party, just because I have family ties with it.
Sure, sure. You wouldn't want anybody thinking that there are other wheelings and dealings going on.
Yeah. And that's a hot button word in the Gypsy Party.
Wheelings and dealings.
Yes.
Because of the wagon wheels.
Yeah, and just their mm-hmm. bartering tendencies in history. And
sure. Well, I think it's definitely great that there are so many parties living amongst each other in this small town.
Mm-hmm.
And you have both ends of the spectrum. You have the Love Party, whose platform is so big that it is almost crushing and suffocating people, to the Apathy Party, who has no platform.
Yeah, none at all. And they're fine with it, they think.
They've gone so far as to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they won't even stand on a platform when they give their speeches.
No.
They just stand on the ground or in the crowd.
Yeah, and you should check out the town square this afternoon if you're still around, because I think George is actually giving a speech. And they're fascinating because they'll give up halfway through.
And just walk off stage.
Yeah, but it's kind of a cliffhanger. And that was actually what first intrigued me about them, because I was like, this has to be their strategy. And it works a little bit because it draws you in because you want to know more, but they don't know more. That's the thing. There is no more.
Vince, I see that you're already wearing a George Cranston button and straw hat.
Yeah, if they could follow through with actually getting the buttons printed with anything on them. They're just blank right now.
It is a blank button.
Yeah, it's just a blank button.
Well, I've already learned a lot about this town, but maybe, Elliot, we should get a little more specific with the information we're seeking.
I wholeheartedly agree. We should get to that in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write us and our honored guests with your specific questions and queries. We have time to read three each and every week. Elliot, it looks like you're pulling the first one out of our mail-in ballot box right now.
Yeah, we worked with Xander this week to get an actual ballot box that we collect all the mail in. So thank you for that, Xander. For once, you've been helpful towards our cause. This first letter, guys, comes from Beatrice. And she is in Fort Worth, Texas. So Beatrice says, "Dear Vince and Elliot and Olivia, I am fascinated with politics, and I'm very keen on knowing what has been the most contested election in Caucus Florida history."
Interesting.
So we all know that Florida has kind of a history of miscounts or just contested elections in general. So it would be great to get your opinion on this, Olivia.
Absolutely. The one that is standing out, there's been a couple, but I think the one of the hottest is that of Cynthia Smith. And Cynthia Smith was the wife of a former mayor of Caucus. And when she ran, her husband was still mayor.
And she was running for mayor?
And she was running for mayor, and he didn't know. And she managed to run an entire campaign without him knowing which does go to show that he was not the strongest mayor, and was not super connected to the town, and was elected. And when she was elected, immediately filed for divorce, and in a public speech, which it was shocking.
Was she running against him?
Yes, because he was up for re-election, and he just thought he had it in the bag.
He was the incumbent, yeah.
He was a huge gambler, and unfortunately alcoholic, so he was kind of checked out for the whole election process. So it's not that we necessarily blame her for the decision of the divorce. The way it was executed was intense, to say the least.
I remember, I think I read about she having a dinner reservation with her husband at a local restaurant, and also having a big speech planned at the same restaurant. And she kept having to make up excuses like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, I have to go take a phone call, and walking about 15 feet away to deliver her speech.
That's the Lakeview Country Club. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which now they're known for. They actually have the room that she went into is the child's playroom. Yeah. It's a big ball pit now where she went. It's known as the Cynthia Smith ball pit.
Well, that makes sense. I'm reminded of this incident. It was hotly contested, many recounts. Finally, in his concession speech, the incumbent mayor famously made headlines and said, "You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. I resign from my position." And his wife subsequently took office.
He, I don't know, this isn't always in all of the publications of that. He immediately passed out right after that speech and fell down the three stairs leading up to the platform, and actually had a pretty horrible concussion and was in a coma for the first half of the year of her mayorship.
Well, I remember that she used that to her advantage, because that was televised, to just jump right into her campaign speech.
She kind of used it against him in a way, which was indicative of the type of politician that she would become. And said that this was her husband showing his support for her and not interfering with her campaign initially. Like, this is how he's not going to give me he's not going to mansplain this to me for the first 6 months.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a controversial one indeed. Well, thanks for the answer, and thanks for writing in, Beatrice. Fascinating question. Elliot, I've got the second question right here.
Great.
This one comes from Clyde in Austin, Texas. Thanks for writing in, Clyde.
Thanks, Clyde.
Thanks, Clyde.
Clyde would love to know, this is interesting. He writes and says, "Hey, these parts and guest, I'm currently campaigning for re-election in my town for the Film Appreciation Party."
Hmm.
Hmm. Interesting indeed. "We are a grassroots organization looking to get film aficionados," pronunciation is my own, "elected into local office, especially here in Texas. One of the major tenets of our party is the identification of locations of movies." That's
a tenet of his party.
I mean, it sounds important. It sounds like you're doing good work, Clyde. He goes on to write, "So since you're in Caucus, Florida, can you please speak about the political thriller that was filmed and set there, Deliverance?"
He also, I see he's enclosed a picture of him with a giant whiteboard with, it looks to be every single town in the country and a corresponding movie that was taking place there next to it.
Wow, that's impressive.
They're in the process of filling that out. Well, sorry to say, Clyde, that Deliverance was not filmed or set in Caucus, Florida.
I also don't think it was a political movie. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, I'm IMDBing this right now, and it looks like there actually was a different political thriller called Deliverance, starring a young Charlton Heston, about a guy who is trying to deliver a ballot box to the town hall, and just through a series of, you know, foibles and events, he loses it and has to go on a hunt through the city. So maybe he's talking about that one.
That's actually a documentary that was filmed in America.
And Charlton Heston played himself.
Yeah. Few people know that.
Doesn't that movie star a young Bela Lugosi as the specter of political shadiness.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yes, that sounds right.
But it's also a documentary.
Oh, yeah. The one that was filmed in our town. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I feel like we have to catch that one, Elliot. So I think this also marks history as being the least wrong anyone's ever been when asking that question out of the three or four times it's been asked.
But he did include, I see a postscript that says that he's a huge Burt Reynolds fan. So I don't know if his motivations were clear.
Maybe we're giving him the benefit of the doubt where we shouldn't.
We're joining the love party here.
Thanks for writing in anyway, Clyde.
Now that we have that cleared up, Olivia, it looks like you have our final letter of the segment.
Yes, I do. Here it is right here. Dear Elliot, Vince, and guest, which is me, I am a huge fan of the show. Thank you so much for reading my letter on air. You're welcome. I wanted to know, as a aspiring campaign strategist myself, what can I do to stand out from the crowd? And in Caucus Florida, with so many parties, how do the individual campaigns stand out from the crowd?
What a great question.
Fantastic question. It's a multi-part one. And I would love you guys, if you guys have anything that you've learned from this, to weigh in, obviously, as well. But I'll start it off just by saying that I'm going to go back to my book, and let's just throw it away. Throw the book away. Mm-hmm. All politicians have such strong opinions, and you have to stay true to yourself.
It seems like she's concerned with standing out from the crowd, where, from what we've learned, you should be amongst the crowd, if anything else.
Yeah. And if history has taught us anything in this discussion that we've had, is that standing out from the crowd is generally not a good thing. You're standing out because of a half-made theme park, or your husband was actually the mayor and fell down some stairs. You know, those aren't the times when you want to stand out. And those aren't what makes you a sought-after campaign strategist.
I mean, the reason why democracy works, I think, is you don't want to have these people that are individuals in any way.
No. You really want to embrace the motivation of your party and then kind of chameleon your way through it.
You know, I'm glad you bring up that word in particular, Olivia. It reminds me of a party that I was exposed to my first day here in caucus, called the Plem de Krabik Party. And they're a party that is kind of, their campaign is a little bit nebulous. They mostly get elected by making their names of their politicians very close to the names of other politicians and getting accidental voting.
Yes. They're a bit of a malicious party, but they're legit.
There was that one woman who changed her name to Jillary Clinton recently, I think.
Yeah. Jillary Clinton, and she is a, like, starch conservative. So it was shocking for most of the people who voted. And it's funny because caucus has this thing where we're such a political town, but a lot of the laymen or the residents aren't necessarily abreast to what's happening because there's so many campaigns happening. It's a tough town to know what you're voting for.
Is this why you guys have currently elected Treasurer Blonald Crump?
Yeah, Blonald Crump is actually a fantastic politician. And it was a good move because Blonald Crump didn't come from politics, but is just kind of a prodigy when it comes to money and numbers, and has dug caucus out of millions and billions of dollars of debt.
Well, he made his fortune acting, right, in the Eddie Murphy spinoff series, Christmas with the Crumps.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's known for. Yeah, he'll be really happy that you know that.
He played every single character in that film, I believe.
That's right. Blonald played all 16 characters in that film.
Even Crazy Aunt May.
Crazy Aunt May is one of my favorite characters, I have to admit that. And, you know, what's funny is he actually uses that in his campaign, and he does it around the office, and it endears him to a lot of people because he'll dress up and come to work, and you'll be like, who's this new guy? And it's actually just Blonald.
Well, some say that because he was able to play all these different characters, he was legally able to register to vote as different people, which in turn secured him the election.
This is true. Technically, he did get some legitimate votes as well. But Blonald, I think, is registered under 35 to 40 different names in caucus. Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't he also your Secretary of Transportation and your head librarian and your assistant to the mayor?
Yes, yes. He is, but you wouldn't know it. That's the great thing about Blonald is he truly is a chameleon, if we're going to use that word again. You just wouldn't know it. I've had so many people come to this town, school groups, you know, and I'll often give tours to kids who are interested in politics or just interested in learning more about caucus, and I will purposely not tell them that Blonald is the same person, and they won't know.
Well, with the amount of prosthetics and the voices he does, I mean, I know his Scottish uncle character, who is the town treasurer, Uncle Haggis. I mean, you'd never know it was the same person.
Uncle Haggis. Yeah, it's okay.
That's a great impression.
That's a great Haggis impression.
It's okay. I'm no Blonald, but...
Well, thank you so much for writing in. Hopefully, you've learned a little bit from the career politicians and their tricks of the trade. I know I have, Elliot. But maybe it's time to peel back another layer.
There are tricks of the trade. There are... other tricks that I think we should delve into, Vince, in a segment we call Best Kept Secrets.
What better place to investigate this than a town built on politics? There's bound to be a scandal or two in the town's history and the town's present. Olivia, I know you don't like to tip your straw hat too far. Maybe you could talk about a little bit of the off-the-grid, under-the-covers activity that goes on here in caucus.
Absolutely. One of the things you might not have known about caucus is it's actually a dry town. So alcohol is illegal in caucus. But it's also a very political town with tons of loopholes. And there's actually a speakeasy of sorts in the gypsy quadrant of the town. They have a underground brewery that specializes in light beer, which is kind of a safe haven in the summer for a lot of us because it's hot and that is the only thing that sounds good.
Is this the beer that they've recently renamed America?
Yes. Yeah. America, the Gypsy's Brew is the tagline. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's like a light beer, but kicked up a notch.
And it tastes like it was brewed in a basement bathtub.
Because it was.
Interesting. Interesting. I did not expect the rum running culture to come to caucus, but, you know, that's why we have the show, to learn.
And the Gypsies really brought that. And I think as much as people, you know, kind of make fun of them sometimes or their liberal ways, they've... In the summertime, no one's complaining. Let's just say that.
Can you talk about the center of the town that has an almost Times Square feel to it, but where instead of ads are projected, different people's emails and text messages are projected?
Mm-hmm. We call it Time to Vote Square. And this is where basically like the banners and the ads, it was too much. It was too much. Paper, caucus is actually a pretty green town in general. They're very conscious of that. And it was just because we're always campaigning, we were making posters and advertisements constantly, nonstop. And we finally realized the carbon footprint of the town. And I think it was the Love Party, actually, who kind of inspired this movement, which is one of the great things that they have done. But they're like, let's get rid of paper. And make it all electronic.
I respect that.
And I want to point out how you spun that, because that is your job. And I like the idea that it's spun as a way to conserve energy, because what it also facilitates is people laying all their cards out on the table. You know, there's no scandals here anymore. No emails left uncovered, no text messages left unsent.
You know, that's one of the things I will say about caucus, about all the parties, is you can't get away with that anymore. The scandals, like you said, have really gone down because we've seen it all. We've had all the scandals that could happen.
Speaking of which, I would love to investigate a little a night spot club, if you will, where more than a few prominent politicians have been caught. It's called the Hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, from what I can tell from the pictures in the media, it's a little bit risque. Do you want to talk about what goes on there and why so many high-profile politicians are caught there?
Yeah. So the Hanging Chad is a It's not a brothel. That's the wrong word. it's a place where politicians, men and women, or any you know, whatever your preference is, can go, and there are beautiful waiters and waitresses who will serve you drinks and delicious food. Mm-hmm. And it's sexy. Let's just say it's a very sexy place to go. It's dimly lit. This is where, you know, politicians go to discuss their more private matters. And Hanging Chad, Chad's actually the owner of this place. He will once or twice an evening come down and yell out Hanging Chad. And everyone has to drop their pants in the bar.
Wow.
What purpose does this serve?
It just relaxation. It's kind of like a clean slate for everyone. You just like, you are all in this kind of humiliating pose, and it's a very vulnerable thing, but it's very freeing. And politicians, I mean, I don't know how close you guys are to many campaigns, but they're stressful. And in a town where we're always campaigning, if you take a trip to Hanging Chad, you know at the end of the night you're going to have laughed at yourself. You're going to have seen beautiful people. You're going to have had some good drinks, some good food. And at one point in the evening, you're going to have taken your pants off in front of your peers.
Well, it goes one step further. You know, you don't want to spend all of your time giving speeches, talking about your genitals. If you just show them, pull them out, throw them out on the table, then everyone knows what you're dealing with.
And the reason we went with pants instead of shirts is because it is gender neutral. Everyone is exposed.
I like it. It's a tradition that might seem strange to the outsider, but once you get to know it, it makes perfect sense. It's not strange
at all. And no one judges you. I mean, no one judges you for going to one of the day spas where you walk around naked and get facials, you know? It's just the politician's version. It's more efficient. It's a minute. You have your pants up for a minute, and then they go back on, and then you go back to your conversation, and you're a little more relaxed.
Yeah, that's fun to me.
Yeah. You guys should check it out tonight. Chad will be there. He's always there.
See you there, Olivia and Elliot.
You generally don't tell people you're going to see them there, because then it's more awkward.
That might be a faux pas.
Yeah. Just a heads up. You find people at Hanging Chads. You don't meet them there.
Good to know, Olivia. I didn't know that.
Few people do. You wouldn't know.
Olivia, do you think there might be one, two, or maybe even five more things that I didn't know?
Probably.
By all means, let's get to them in a segment we call Did You Know?
So listeners, much like the politicians here in caucus, we know you're not made of time. You've got things to do. You've got people to see. So you need a fast, rapid-fire trivia segment catered to your on-the-go needs. That's what Did You Know is, and we have time for five factoids each and every week. I've got the first one right here.
What's your defense?
Did you guys know, in caucus, Florida, the term straw poll has a little bit different meaning?
So what would that be?
It's actually a vote that takes place every year to determine what type of straw is used to make the straw hats that politicians wear to campaign.
Olivia, is there some sort of straw lobby in the town?
Yes, the straw lobby is very strong in caucus.
Big straw, as it's referred to in the media.
Mm-hmm.
What are the sort of pressures that the straw lobby puts on the voter?
It's called the final straw movement is one of the big pressures. And it's really just, there's two main straw manufacturers, if you will, that we go between. And the straw lobby every year kind of puts the final straw measure out. And this puts pressure on those two companies to fight each other for prices and prove not just prices, but prove that their straw is worthy in a kind of a showdown, if you will, a straw showdown.
Oh, this reminds me of an incident that I read about in a political textbook when the tobacco lobby had moved in to try to get the hats made out of dried tobacco plants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big Straw crushed that movement in an incident called the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes. That was an incredible showdown.
They say Joe Camel has never recovered.
Let's just say Joe Camel does not come to caucus.
Guys, I didn't know that. But did you know Caucus Florida is the foremost manufacturer of hole punchers in the nation?
Wow. I can kind of see how that would be the case. Olivia, do you care to expand on that?
Yeah, actually, it's absolutely true. It's the Punch 'Em Up family is what we call them. That's not their actual names, but it's the horrible nickname they've been given.
It.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah. No one's last name is Punch 'Em Up, but that's what they're known as. When we were using paper before we went green, a lot of that came was in internal town hole punch. But now it's still made here, but it's sent mainly to Washington and other campaign towns.
Well, I know you say we went green, and there's the obviously the energy aspect of it, but the family were making very, very industrial extra strength hole punchers so that there was no dispute over whom you voted for. And this led to a lot of, you know, hands getting punched, eyeballs getting punched out, and they had to figure out a way to move past this.
Yeah, there was a huge period of time where they had so many workers' comp claims, not only in their factory, but then also just recalls nonstop of horrible teenage girls were using them to pierce their ears without their parents' permission, but the holes are too big.
Sure.
I see. Well, I think maybe their early design had something to do with that. From the schematic I'm looking at, it seems to be a boxing glove on a large spring attached to a mousetrap.
Yes, yes. And you basically set the mousetrap, and when the lever is released, the boxing glove is released and very efficiently punches a hole.
That was from the Rube Goldberg party, I believe, whose platform, and I will call it a platform, even though it was elevated on strings with different boots that kick things, their platform was all about different contraptions you could use to vote.
Yeah, yeah. That party's still around, actually.
Well, I didn't know that either. Olivia, do you have a did you know fact for us?
Yeah. Did you guys know that Caucus Florida is so about efficiency that they have eliminated most of the subjects in school to 1 hour? So the students all study science, history, English, social studies in 1 hour, and then the rest of the school day is dedicated to politics.
Well, so you guys start them young here then.
Yeah, we start them very young.
Have you guys noticed that this makes people more inclined to enter politics or less inclined?
It definitely goes both ways. I've seen both ways. There is a program for the kids who are the less inclined kids, a special education program, if you will, for the kids who need explaining, you know, extra education, basically, on why this is the way to go. I would say maybe 25 to 30% of the kids go through the special education.
The program is called No Child Left Ahead, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I know that you have taught a class in this program wherein you just enter a class, tell everyone to open their books to page one. It's actually your book, and then you throw it across the room.
And then I go around, and I mean, I will give this away, I guess. My first lesson is the snowflake lesson, where I say, you've all been taught, you're unique snowflakes, we're all unique snowflakes. But what happens after a snowflake hits the ground?
Melts.
It melts. And we all melt into one melting pot. So really, my goal in that first lesson is to let them know they're not that special.
Well, I didn't know that at all. But I feel like I've learned a lot just from hearing you say that again.
Yeah.
It's really sunk in this time.
Yeah, it's for all of us to know that, you know? We're not that special.
Well, I didn't know that. But did you guys know? There has been a moratorium on bumper stickers here in Caucus.
So I could probably guess why, but why is that, Vince?
Well, you know, with the sheer volume of campaigns going on, the bumper stickers were starting to take up a lot of real estate, including back window space. So it's causing a lot of accidents. So now you've got a 2 bumper sticker limit, one for the front, one for the back. What this has caused is a lot of alliances, allegiances, and combinations of parties teaming up to get on collective bumper stickers.
It's true. I don't know if you have taken a jaunt around town yet, but you'll see one of the current trends is just giant bumper stickers.
We actually bought one, and it's, if you look out the window of our viewer recording it now, we had to put it on the windshield because it's so big.
Yeah, it's big. The windshield, quote unquote, bumper sticker was trending for a while, where they just kind of had eye holes cut out where you could see through, but so many accidents because you just, when you drive, you only shouldn't just be looking one place forward, you know, you need to be looking all of your angles.
But for any political movement, you should be looking only forward.
Yes, but there was a huge, I think when that kind of went away was when there was this giant accident, and it was with the Love Party, and they realized that they had caused so many injuries, and even they couldn't deny that that was bad for them. You know, they couldn't love that.
Yeah, we got our giant bumper sticker from the Personal Injury Lawyer Party. So I'm not sure, maybe that's a, I'm sure they have a good reason for still manufacturing those giant bumper stickers. I can't really think of one right now. I can't think of what that would be, but I'm sure they have one.
Yeah, that's not clear. I mean, you'd have to, I mean, they're a personal injury lawyer, so their job is to protect you, you know.
That's right, that's right.
Well, I didn't know that, guys, but did you know that Caucus Florida has so many political talk shows that every channel now is almost a Brady Bunch screen of different shows playing at the same time?
Mm-hmm. I realized that. I was checking out the local cable on our portable TV, and I could barely make out what they were saying because they were all talking at the same time.
Yeah, they're talking at the same time. Every show has its own ticker, so they're all saying different things. Sometimes the squares are interacting with each other. That's kind of a technological marvel, in my opinion. But it's really hard to garner any facts from these shows. Have you ever been on any of these shows as a correspondent, Olivia?
I have. And, you know, it's interesting because not all of them are live. Some of them are live and some of them aren't. And there's been times where you'll see this happen where I've been on three or four that are airing at the same time. And I can actually talk to myself, like you see those tickers. Yeah. So I it's like future me is telling myself something and then I'm watching it on the next show responding.
And that doesn't get confusing at all?
It can get confusing for someone who's new to it. Once you do it a few times, you get the hang of it. You get the timing down. You know how to wait to listen to yourself talk and then respond, and yeah.
So the episode that I saw, there was a representative. She was in the center square for the cleaners and service workers party of caucus. And she went by Alice, I think.
Alice Pendergraph? Is that her?
I think it might be. She had a very disapproving look toward the other representatives on the show, but She looks like a sassy no nonsense type.
Yeah, she is no nonsense, to say the least. Yeah, she'll sweep you under the rug quickly.
Well, their platform, the cleaner platform, is to equip everybody in the city with brooms so they can sweep things under rugs. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. They actually did a huge campaign where they have this giant carpet, and you kind of got like pulled off the street and put under the carpet, and then they were speaking about their cause. It was terrifying, actually, to get pulled into that. Yeah. So they're an aggressive party, the cleaners, for sure. They don't have many boundaries.
But if we've learned anything from our week here in caucus, is that you have to be aggressive in this current political landscape, and it's people like you, Olivia Axlin, that help politicians ascend the ranks and make this country great again.
Totally. And I just have one final, like, did you know that I just think will shed some light on why it's so confusing in caucus is that actually because of all of the political parties, we have eliminated color almost completely from the town. So black, white, and gray are the only colors you can use campaigning. And if you're a politician, those are the only colors you can wear.
So there's no blue, there's no red, there's no iconic.
No, it was just too much. And after a few elections where there was just too much color, they eliminated it.
I remember quite an outcry from the Green Party over the injustice of this rule being implemented.
Yeah, the Green Party had to definitely rebrand themselves because it's, you know, the color is kind of their thing. But I think it was good for them because it really made them go back to their roots and, you know, say what is green if it's not a color? What does it actually stand for?
Now, I believe they're called the out of touch formerly Democrats but smoked too much pot party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their shortened title.
Vince, before we get even more political than we already are, I think we should get to our final segment.
It's with a heavy heart, I agree, Elliot. We call it Wish You Were Here.
Listeners, we obviously wish you could be with us each week in every town we travel, but we have to do the next best thing, and that's write and dictate an audio letter to all of you. And guys, it goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Caucus, Florida.
A town that's perpetually locked in the throes of democracy.
The town home to the most amazing campaign strategist we have ever had the privilege of talking to, Olivia Axlin.
A town where you may run into a few shady tactics, a couple of scandals, but one thing's for sure, everyone wears their political prowess on their sleeve.
In a town where if life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Take those lemons and make a campaign.
And if they give you the command to hang, it means you should drop trowel and appreciate the simpler things in life.
farewell from these parts to yours.
Listeners, thanks for voting yes this week in our episode in Caucus, Florida. But join Vince and I next week when we're in Xavier, Montana.
Xavier, Montana is home to Disney Place, the lesser-known wing of the Disney amusement park family. It was abandoned halfway through construction due to lack of interest, but the town still remains. Join us. It's going to be a good one.